Lime, duh.
Yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello.
Shit.
Oh, hey, welcome to the Comedians and Wrestling Podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree.
No more Mr. Nice Jew!
I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Black, a.k.a. Dunsky Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Dirt Sheets, bing, 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 a.k.a. Papa Oat Milk, the Creatine Dream, a.k.a. the modern day Goof and Spoof, ha Raja.
Shut your hole!
Someone you idolize.
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby, gabba, gabba, wee.
Gabba, gabba, wee.
Yeah.
Gabba, gabba, gay. Gabba, gabba, gay.
Yeah, yeah. This girl, she is mine. And well, that hasn't been relevant for a long time. Damn. She's fine.
I should have known better, dude.
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, what up, Jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. Man, wow, a lot to talk about this week. Many would argue too much to talk about this week, but before we do, I just want to let you know, this podcast is grassroots. Support this podcast. If you're listening to this podcast every week, you should be supporting it before we go to a big network and fucking dilute this shit, baby. Go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Get access to all of our bonus content every Friday morning. Me and Nick Tulo, the Supermark, we are discussing everything about Wednesday Night Wrestling, AEW, NXT. It's a great time, especially as Wednesday night is getting spicy.
There's a lot of beef out here.
And get access to our monthly Cal Zoom Thunderdome hangout sessions, which is happening this Sunday for Survivor Series, November 22nd, right as the pay-per-view begins. We'll be going on the Zoom. I'll post the Zoom link for patrons with the secret Patreon password. And that'll be for you guys. We'll be hanging out watching the pay-per-view Survivor Series. It's a great, great time. Great way to support the podcast and hang out. Share some camaraderie? Is that camaraderie? Is that a new one? Camaraderie.
Say it a few more times.
Camaraderie. Some of the camaraderie.
There's
a lot of beef out there.
Stupid.
Stupid. Wow. Okay. Anyway, not very nice, Orton. Someone's in a sad mood. I think we know why, everybody. But anyway, consider supporting the show. Before I introduce the panel here today, we got a spicy panel. I want to let you know, besides the Thunderdome and being a patron, another way to support the show is by giving us 5 stars in Apple Podcasts. If you give us 5 stars and write in the comments a wrestler who has recently become one of your guys, or if you want to just solidify how much one of these guys, one of these wrestlers is, write it in the comments, and I will congratulate you on the show for that. I'll bring those back again next week, so do that, right? 5 stars. So, you know, you're feeling Roman right now. You're digging this successful change in Roman's attitude and gear, and maybe you need to let the people know. Get a congratulations. Get those fireworks for you. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Write in the comments. Wrestlers with one of your guys. Also, one thing. Follow me on Instagram at Dan Black Attack. I'm posting exclusive clips from the show now on my Instagram that are pretty fun. And hey, if you're in the Zoom Thunderdome, you might even see yourselves on my Instagram. So check that out. All right. Anyway, let's get into it. Let's introduce, we got a full house here today, which is great because it's a go-home show. We can get predictions from everybody in person. Two of my down Zoom square or rectangle. He's a nasty, nasty boy. nasty Newman Hagen.
How about it?
The nasty one back in the house. To my screen right, to my side, but not a thorn in my, she's the first lady of Cal, Miss Erin Finnerty.
What up?
What up? And to my diagonal, he is here from the Patreon making an appearance. He is the Marketect. He is the Supermark, Mr. Long Island Nick Tulo.
Alexa, what time is it?
It's 4:27 p.m.
It's 4:27 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's your boy, Tiptoe with Tulo. What's going on?
Oh, that explains that. That explains that off-pod bong rip 7 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Oh damn, oh, the flavor.
Oh, my God. Oh,
Alexa, stop.
Okay, Tulo. I think we should, you know, maybe cool it with the Alexa next time. Okay.
Thanks for nothing. You're dismissed.
That's the only Alexa allowed on this pod now. Tulo takes bong rips before we record, or like hits from a bowl. I don't know, bong rip, but he does it leaning over like it's off screen, but it's just in the corner of his room.
It's like
he's in some sort of like futuristic, like he grabs his like weed ventricle and is like the back in the fucking thing.
Yeah, it's like do you think that we don't see that, or
I'm here. I'm in the zoom.
I forgot. No, you're normally on the bonus episode.
I'm just
Tulo's like, he's like, I'll be right back.
He's eating popcorn.
Yeah, just shoveling snacks in my mouth as fast as I can.
He's like, I don't know, I don't lose weight.
What?
Huh? I'm working out really hard. All right, anyway. I don't know how that's relevant. But anyway, thank you for letting me do a little improv for you, folks. But listen, there's a lot to talk about this week. Oh, what flavor?
Nick, what flavor is that?
Lime, White Claw, duh.
Natural lime. Natural lime, White Claw.
He's drunk and high at 4 p.m.
Let's go. 2020, baby.
Yeah, that's your excuse. All right, listen, folks.
Wow.
Jesus.
Because 2020, I'm acting like 2019. anyway, a lot to talk about this episode. We have a special report from Erin. There's a lot to say. We have a special report from Erin coming up. We got to do our Survivor Series predictions,
mm-hmm.
which is a good time. And yeah. And then also, but where I want to start this week, I want to say first off, just as a blanket statement, really, I don't know if I was just in a good mood. I'm curious where you guys are at, but I was really enjoying Raw and SmackDown this week. Like, I just enjoyed watching both shows this week. Is that just me?
No. I agree.
Yeah.
I had a great time watching Raw. I usually fast forward through a lot of it, but I actually watched it this morning. So
I think they're in that same zone we kind of talked about last week. I think Shebs was on the pod last week, but when we talked about last week where but I've been saying it for a while, where the heavyweight title picture is very fun. The A stories of Raw and SmackDown is very fun. And Tulo, yes, I do consider what Miz is up to part of the A story, because he's going for the...
And the Fiend.
Title and Fiend. I think in wrestling, and I don't know, this is not... I don't think this is always the case, but the A story is the heavyweight title picture, right?
Yeah. Usually, right? I think. Yeah,
it usually is. But I kind of started thinking while that was happening, like, normally in WWE writing, the A story is the heavyweight title picture, but I feel like I would switch that up if I was them. I would start having the tag title picture be the A, try make that the A story sometime. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's something they should try to fuck with, but I don't know. I haven't thought about that.
Not going to happen.
More, no, not going to happen. They're pretty formulaic over there. We still got the Survivor Series teams, five groups of five that no one cares about.
All nobody. Right.
Okay, but I enjoyed the shows. But before we talk about, like, you know, there's obviously some big things on the docket this week. We have a new champion. We will celebrate his majesty. But I think, interesting enough, a lot of the stuff I've written down, I noticed, is I have a lot of notes about women wrestlers, but outside of the ring information. Okay, I noticed the most time where most of my notes is about the women's, the WWE women's division, and a lot of it has nothing to do with wrestling. Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm just gonna dive into that. That this is of a week that this is what's going on. First thing we'll talk about is did you? I mean, I don't even know where exactly to begin, but I think we should start here with Aaron's special report. Actually, oh, I think we should just go right into it. It's the top billing. Is that this week? Zelina Vega fired from WWE, future endeavored. Mm-hmm. It's just fun that wrestling has its own term for being fired. Future endeavored. It's a verb. She got future endeavored. Mm-hmm. But Aaron, here's the thing about this. I asked Aaron to do a little special report on this, dig on what we have, because the details of this seem murky. And I think the details, we should get whatever details we have, because I could see a lot of sides of this situation. So, Aaron, let's dive in. It was brought to you by the Dan Black Attack Podcast of the Regular Guy News. Aaron, let's get a special report on
all right, Dan.
On this. Aaron?
Okay. All right, folks. So last Friday, as many of you know, Zelina Vega, Thea Trinidad, IRL, was future endeavored by WWE. This was announced about 10 minutes after she tweeted out that she supports unionization. So her tweet was initially thought to be the cause of the firing, but it's been reported that she knew earlier on Friday that she was being let go. So the tweet really wasn't... didn't likely play into her being future endeavored. So
yeah, there was a lot of
Yeah, that's okay. So later on Friday night, she went on Twitch and responded to her fans. There was a huge outpouring of love for her on her Twitch stream. She said that her first love is wrestling, and she's not going to give that up. She added that this is not the last we'll see of her, and if she goes down as someone who stood up for themselves, then so be it. She didn't rip WWE in the stream or even really mention it, besides thanking the people that she worked with behind the scenes, because she is under a 90-day non-compete contract, so probably wise not to say anything defamatory about WWE. So it was reported then that, so, you know, we all know there was this third-party activity ban that we talked about in a special report a few weeks back.
Right.
And since that ban was put into place, Zelina Vega continued to stream on her Twitch, and she also started an OnlyFans account where fans can interact with her for $30 a month, get exclusive pics, content, and all that. So she not only didn't respect the third-party ban. Yeah.
Is OnlyFans... Do people have OnlyFans accounts where there's no nudity, or is it pretty much assumed it's nudity?
No, like Cardi B has an OnlyFans where it's like behind the scenes on her like music videos and stuff. It can be anything. So she started one of those $30 a month. So didn't do the third party ban, doubled down really on her third party activities. And then it was reported, and this came from Meltzer, so take it with a grain if you want. But he said that she was making more off social media than she was as a wrestler. So it's really more lucrative for her, to be on social media. So that's really where we are now. Gabrielle Carteris, who we know as Andrea from 90210, who is the president of SAG-AFTRA, she retweeted Zelina Vega's tweet and said she supports unionization too, and offered her email address to Zelina Vega and said, contact me, you know, reach out, feel free to reach out. So, you know, other unions are noticing that this is happening. So who knows where the conversation will lead, where it will take her husband, Aleister Black, but that's where the reports are as of today.
Well, the reports I read is that he's been in the casket, but he hasn't heard the news.
He's in there. He's in the ground.
He's in the casket. He hasn't rose from his grave.
He's still
waiting for his old music to hit. Okay, Aaron, thank you for getting all that information.
Yeah, that was awesome.
We appreciate Aaron. Lock it in. So, okay. My initial response. So, Aaron, you didn't say this, but this is something I saw. Maybe. I saw that the OnlyFans account was the last straw.
Yeah, that was the last That, well, they're saying that that was the last straw for WWE, which led to her being future endeavored on Friday. So that probably was the straw that broke the camel's back, but she never stopped Twitch streaming anyways. Right. So, you know.
Did AJ and everybody, did everybody stop Twitch streaming?
Yeah, I think AJ stopped, right?
Stop.
AJ was on Mixer, and then he switched to Twitch, and then I think
I think part of it is that you have to turn the controls of your Twitch or your Cameo over to WWE. So I don't know, like, if Kofi Kingston might still be on Cameo, but if he is, it's probably under the umbrella of WWE. And I don't know if, I mean, he was donating his profits to charity, to the guy who died earlier this year, but
right.
I don't know.
Okay, so, it seems like the New Day might have a deal with WWE because they were selling the up, down, down title on the Shop Zone.
Yeah, they 100% have a deal with WWE.
So they might have a deal. But so, I don't know. I guess, how does, you know, I just don't want to. She definitely, I think that from another thing I read is that there's two tiers of, listen, this is for me hitting the sheets, baby, so I don't know. You know what I mean? And the only reason I focus on this is because I think Zelina Vega is a really great talent for WWE. Letting her go, I think, is a huge deal. She seems like a talent that AEW will scoop up instantly. You know what I mean?
She's perfect there.
Right? Like,
she would be perfect.
She fits in so perfect because she would just do what Taz is doing, right? She would run her own stable, right? I would probably give her the Lucha Brothers if that's the first thing I would do.
I would make her champion immediately.
Well, yeah, she would wrestle also, but I mean, she could also be pull that dual role of running a stable, the same exact thing, and then have her be, you know. So that's cool. But I guess I also read that Twitch and WWE are trying to make a deal, so it'll be like, oh, like, you can go on AJ's Twitch channel, man. This is so fucking tricky. A couple of elements of this. Let's just talk about it from a perspective of Zelina. She's making more now. So what I read in the sheets is that there's two tiers of wrestlers. That, like, when AEW started, they boosted some wrestlers to a higher tier to keep them from leaving, you know? I don't know exactly why, but, like, you know, I guess, like, you know. And then some wrestlers were at a lower tier of NXT. I don't really understand the layout. To be honest, it seems like WWE is, like, when it comes to this stuff, it seems like it's – the whole thing's, like, kind of roughshod. Like, the whole thing seems a little random. You know what I mean? I don't think they have some, like – I don't think they have some strict pay structure there. You know what I mean? So it seems to be, like, everyone has their own contracts and blah, blah, blah. So if she's making more from Twitch, do you think that if you were just Zelina, separate from the ethics of what WWE did, do you think that she has a more sustainable future in streaming, or – because she's a WWE talent, that's where most of that comes from, and that her being on TV over time will dry up the stream? That's what I'm curious about. And then I have a follow-up. I'll let you guys respond.
Well, I had the same thought. Like, her Twitch stream is so popular because she's a WWE superstar, but I mean, if she gets scooped up by AEW and is allowed to keep doing third-party activities there, then it's like win-win. And she was pretty, like, serious on Twitch that, like, wrestling is her thing, she's not going to give it up, and that you'll see her again. So she's kind of hinting that she's going to remain in the business, and I think going to AEW is the move, so she can continue with both revenue streams there, hopefully.
Right. So if she was in AEW, but it's definitely a way less bigger, that's a way smaller platform.
Yeah,
you know?
I would say that I don't think it has anything to do with wrestling, to be honest with you. There's plenty of people who are popular on Twitch and other things that become famous because of the content that they create. So she's got a leg up, and I have a feeling that a lot of her content that she produces on that Twitch, I don't know. I'm just speaking about this, but I think it has probably like 5% to do with wrestling, and everything else is all cosplay,
gaming and cosplay,
cosplay stuff. Yeah. So people tune in for that. I mean, they already are fans of her, and I think she even got even more support now because of the decision that she made. So I think she could take some time away from wrestling, and this is a better time to become even more creative with it. She's going to make a killing, even more money now, you know?
Well, I'm seeing this from every single angle, right? obviously WWE will, like, so here's my other thing of this. So WWE, if she's making more money on streaming, that would be proof to that Zelina has more value than you're paying her, right? Isn't that kind of just immediate proof that she could generate more income? So why wouldn't they see that as a way to make like a partnership where you're like, why don't we pay you? Like WWE has tons of money. Why wouldn't they just match it, what she's making now, and be like, why don't we partner up and make more? Like, I don't know why they have not realized that we kind of live in the world of like being an affiliate. You know what I mean? Or like being like a, like a platform for them. So I feel like instead of like just severing ties and being like, we're taking all that money, that feels like that's where you start being non-sustainable. Now, from WWE's perspective, do you think they lose more talent from this and that it helps AEW grow, or do you think WWE just always wins?
I think it depends.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I think it depends. Like, what is your allegiance to WWE? Like,
well, I just want to add one thing. Is that because just the follow up, the last piece of information is that you mentioned that the SAG-AFTRA president, the woman from 90210, who sends me emails all the time that I delete. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, oh, it's the woman from 90210. Every time I see it, I go, oh, yeah, 90210.
Gabrielle Carter, she landed on her feet.
And so I'm saying there's that. So she's getting, and then also Andrew Yang has, now with Biden being president-elect, is someone who's going to have the ear of the White House, right? We have so I'm curious if this is WWE, if you think two things, if you think that WWE will just get away with this, or are they pushing it too far and the timing with this administration coming in is might actually be the time where WWE starts meeting their maker a little bit.
I think they're going to start meeting their maker a little bit. I think that, but it's going to come in the form of more, they're going to lose their mid-card and lower-card wrestlers, and they're going to be left with just the upper-card people who they're paying and supporting and giving opportunities to. But you can't just have an upper-card. They need to have this 3-hour, 5 hours, 7 hours of entertainment every week, and you can't do that with just 15 wrestlers, right? And so I think people are going to start leaving. I think Aleister Black is going to leave too. I think it's just going to – this. I'm willing to bet that we're seeing – this is a more significant thing than we're even realizing right now. Like her getting shit-canned, I think it's – this is just momentum building towards that moment where they lose a lot of people.
I think as we like look at the roster, I mean, you start to look at guys like Adam Cole, AJ Styles, like these are big streaming people. Like if they feel like they, I mean, these are huge stars. If they feel like they can just be like, all right, I don't need to do this. Well, I like, cause that what they do on their Twitch is what they love. Like they enjoy it so much.
Right.
And if they could go and do that elsewhere. And I think it's honestly healthy for WWE in a way, is because whoever wants to stick around, the people like Sasha Banks and the Roman Reigns and the Seth Rollins, they're not going anywhere. Yeah,
I also put AJ in that camp, by the way. He signed a big contract. AJ will retire in WWE, especially at his age. I mean, he's one of the guys who's paid to stay. Like, there's only a couple guys. There's really only a couple guys and maybe a gal or two who are getting the amount of money where they'll be like, oh, should I stop my Twitch? Fine. Like, and that's Randy. You could count him and say him right now. It's Randy, AJ, probably Drew now. Like, probably Drew's now getting, like, you know, like, as of this Monday, I think Drew is probably getting that money. Guys like Brock, guys like Bray. There's guys who, WWE knows how to pay where people don't complain, you know?
Right. Well, watch Adam Cole, because you know, his wife or his fiance or whatever is already in AEW. He's a huge Twitch streamer. Like, he only talks about gaming, you know? And so he would be one to watch to go next, I'd imagine, if they don't come up with some sort of business solution that's like equitable for these people who it's like, well, I wrestle, but then the rest of my time I'm streaming. Like, I'm sure Adam Cole makes money hand over fist on Twitch. So
You have to see WWE's.
You know what's coming next?
Here.
Well, Adam Cole, bye-bye. That's what's happening. Adam Cole, bye-bye.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
Yes. Someone's getting that line to Pat McAfee, like, right now.
Well, the thing is that man. Like, okay, WB is like almost – they're in this like too big to fail situation, and they keep – they almost fail by – they almost succeed through failure also because like they lucked out that like they happen to do a show that's live when live TV is so valuable, so they get paid extra for it, right? Like, you know what I mean? So like they're in this sweet spot. They're like one of the only TV shows that's able to just keep going because they can just like, oh, we'll just do it in Florida. The show's this almost the same show every single week, and we just repeat it over and over. It's like they're kind of in this – they're in like a really sweet spot for themselves. But I just think that there's two things that I see. Is first off, I see WWE's point. I see their point that like, hey, we've created these wrestlers and now they're monetizing in another way. And as this landscape is changing, I see that what's tricky. What seems to be, and I don't know if this is just because I get my info from the internet, you know, is that like it seems to be these like really harsh decrees on the talent. Like, you guys should have fucking known better. That's what it feels like. I don't know if this is actually true. This is feel.
Dude.
That, like, it feels like it's like, you got to shut down your channel right away as opposed to, like, you know, I don't know, have, like, call them all for a meeting and be like, hey, guys, we're working on an integration system where, like, it's where we use our brand to boost your channels and that'll make us all more profitable and it's a win-win for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel like that's the culture, and I feel like that's the way to do it. It's like, have these channels that are working, keep them growing, and then find a way where you add value for them, where they're like, oh my God, I'm so happy to have this fucking billion-dollar enterprise back my little Twitch channel that I do in the corner of my room, right?
Well, it's funny because they're selective with it. They're like, they back some guys' podcasts and stuff, like some of the wrestlers' podcasts, and then they bring them into the network. And then all of a sudden, like a Corey Graves or a, I think Swerve has his own. It's like, they're so happy because they're getting to use, they have all this, my buddy works there, like, and he does, and he like, they offer you the best quality tech in the world, and they're like, this is it, and they're like, you're like foolish if you don't take advantage of that, you know. And like,
right, but people leave all the time, like, because it's like, yes, you get the best thing in the world, but if you have no freedom and you're not allowed
right,
to actually
exactly.
speak, then no one wants that. Like, we live right. in this shoot world, so if your product has to be kayfabe, nobody really wants that.
Just,
you know what I mean?
They like pick and choose what they are.
And I was like a shill for WWE, you know, and you felt me pulling the punches, you wouldn't, you'd be like, oh, that's kind of weird. You know what I mean? I might
well,
be
a lot of this is a symptom. A lot of this is a symptom of WWE being a corporation and following sort of this sort of like classic corporate structure, which is based on like a military, like centralized organization of authority. So you have a CEO and a president and an owner, and then there's a long list of subordinates and superiors, and versus what you're referencing, which is a decentralized organization where it's more like whoever has a good idea, whoever knows what to do next is the person who's in charge or in that moment spearheads this thing. Hey, let's bring in all these ideas. That's the antithesis right. of every organization in the world right now that is like, you know, a $1 billion corporation. And so with that then, because it's based on the military centralized structure, you get these authoritarian, especially if you're Vince McMahon, you're already an authoritarian, being like, this is my word, my decree, and that's just how it is, right? So it's super dogmatic, not pragmatic right. at all. And so this is, now you start to see the cracks and the fissures in it because you can't apply pressure like that for so long and such into such an extreme degree and have everything stay together.
Right. Now let's talk about it from a fun perspective, okay? Like in the terms of actually what it matters for us, right? As marks, because this podcast, we're fucking Marky Marks, right?
Right.
We get into the business the feelings bunch. All we yeah. want. Marky Marks and the, yeah, and the Mark, Marky Mark and the Marky Bunch, okay? I do think how this affects WWE talent, the WWE product, is like there is this way slower ascension. There feels like, just like society, there's this like wealth gap that's getting bigger. There's this like gap between top tier talent and lower talent that feels huge. Like there feels like there's Like you can sense who's get what everyone's paycheck is in WWE, like instantly from watching. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Right? You're like, man, that sucks for like right. You know, like you're like, so if long term you start having like now Alistair's gonna leave or like right, and these are the guys, and you're not creating new Hogans, new Warriors. Like you're relying on Randy, and even you know Drew's not that young even like either. Like where are the like 23-year-old studs, 25-year-old studs, like these guys who are going to lead this company? And if you're going to keep attacking the talent and just being, we'll just rely on these draws, like it's kind of crazy that like my brain is still saying like, oh fuck, we can't get Undertaker Fiend, like I'm like fuck, you know what I mean? And you're like, because like, even Miz is not that young of a guy, he's close to probably already 40, you know, and they've never really got him to the level that he needs to be at, you know. So I guess what I'm saying is that like there feels like this,
he just turned 40 October 8th.
Right. So doesn't it feel kind of like there's this, morale, this like low morale, and there's this like, there's this sense of like, you don't matter. Like even like Sami Zayn has his like IC run, but it doesn't feel like the company believes in the IC title picture, you know?
Yeah.
And that all, it all kind of relates, right?
Yeah, it's like it's all Sammy. Whatever Sammy's creative processes.
I highly doubt.
One way to look into the future is that this is the point I just didn't make, get to make, new movie. It's like, I'm just saying, it's like, is that like, well, now you have this way where it's like, yeah, well, the old way was like, find some juiced up warrior looking guy and then just like put him on the screen and people are like, I can't look away, you know? But like now you have people who can reach out on the internet and you can have people with these huge Twitch channels and you have this other avenue to create stars. And I feel like just, you're like kind of shutting that down for a quick payday, you know? That's right. My point. Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that like, I highly doubt that each individual talent, be it Sami Zayn or Drew McIntyre or like anybody, right? I highly doubt that they view the product the same way that we do, which is as a whole show. Sami Zayn, I'm positive, is there for his segment. He shows up, you know, what he's supposed to do. He has no fucking idea who's in the 6-man tag. He has no fucking idea who's the women's champion. And maybe he does because he's Sami Zayn, but like, I'm sure that like some of them, like Dana Brooke, for instance, my perennial whipping post is like, it's like a day job for her. Like she goes there, she puts her head down, she clocks in, she has her segment, she goes, and she's probably satisfied. I'm sure there's somewhere in here she wishes it could be more, but like, what the fuck is she gonna do? Her day job. This is where she works. Right. So those, you know, I don't know. I kind of lost my own point, but I just think that it's like we have to remember that it's each individual, you know.
I think your point was, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think you were kind of making this point that like it almost reminds me of the video I watched of Paige getting upset about this situation because she's like watching her Twitch channel and she's like, look, I can't wrestle anymore. So like when I go there, it's just kind of like a paycheck and I help them out because I was like, one of their champions and – right? And it's like, so it's kind of like this job. And then I don't think I should have to choose between doing that and this, you know, because it's not actually fair. I'm not even wrestling. So it is this thing where you're like, if you're Dana Brooke and this company is like giving you a paycheck, but they're not that invested in you. And it feels like there's no actual career path. Why would you be inclined to give up your other revenue stream that when the other revenue stream, they could just cut off instantly, which they did to Selena.
Right.
Yeah, I guess, that's kind of my point, but more so like there are people who are fine with it. Like, I feel like it's more like there are some wrestlers, I'm sure, that are just like, no, I work for WWE. This is my job. I've always wanted to do this. What's a Twitch stream? I'm just going to do this. And they're not going to put up a fight.
Right. But let's use Zack Ryder as an example, right? Zack Ryder feels like one of the epitome of a guy who's like, my lifelong dream was to work at this company. He literally collects acts. He's like as marquee as it gets outside of the ring. Plus, he gets to be a WWE talent. And then the second they hit rough waters, they let him go. Imagine if he was in that company right now and he didn't have that. Now he has that like hindsight of like and foresight like that. He's that this is what would happen when the waters get rough. This is how they see their loyalty to him during a pandemic. A company that's making a ton of money is like, oh, we're just gonna let him go. If he was in the company right now, he'd be giving up his very popular podcast and right. That's what you'd be telling him to do.
He would have been on the same path he took in the first place. Like, he would have probably maybe left of his own choice instead of giving that up. So,
right. So I kind of, yeah. Anyway. All right. Let's just move on for time. But it's really, I want to track this because I'm like, well, are there going to be more people? Were they just making an example with Zelina? And then I'm also interested in Zelina's channel, which I don't know how to really check. I'm curious if it stays popular. You know, I want to know, like, with Tulo, Tulo thinks it will, and we'll see.
I think it will. I mean, Twitch is like its whole thing. Yeah.
They're not going anywhere. Once somebody, people who
wrestling fans are
Twitch,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but then even on top of that, people who are into Twitch, they have their favorite streamers, they are dedicated. They're not going anywhere.
Interesting. Man, I just think there has to be a more delicate corporate strategy for this that's not going to just spark. This could spark all these guys walking out if they had any unity in that locker room. But it feels like WWE's strategy is very similar to what to our political strategy, which is like just like divide everybody, because if they were together, right, that's why like there's always this like there's like always these walls up with wrestlers and their relationship with each other that like I don't have when I'm at like a UCB where we all kind of are together, and that's why a lot of the UCB community, like this comedy community that I'm a part of, if anyone knows that, is like they actually are always yelling at the management. They're always out together. It feels like in WWE, these talents, they don't talk about their deals within each other. They're all completely separate. And it's like, all right, bye. I'll see you when we're booked to wrestle each other, you know? Anyway, let's move on to another female causing weight. And by the way, Zelina, if she doesn't come back to WWE, I really enjoyed her work. I think she was great. I'd love to see her in AEW. I don't think this is the end of her. And if this brings Aleister over to AEW, it might have all been worth it. Because what a waste of Aleister Black these past fucking 3 years have been. Right?
Yeah.
Also, not that young of a dude, you know? I mean, these guys are in great shape, whatever. All right. Let's talk to more outside of the ring women's action. Nia Jax.
Oof, my goof.
Nia Jax. Oof, my goof. Does anyone have the exact tweet? I actually.
I can pull it up. So Nia Jax had it.
Posted her hot take about the coronavirus. And I think it's worth. It's kind of like not worth mentioning, but also is kind of worth mentioning because in my mind, if, you know, with this. I got it. As controversial as this is, coronavirus and how politicized something that should not be political at all has been, I feel like someone like Nia Jax, who a lot of you follow, I feel it my duty to address this stupidity. Nia Jax tweeted out or Instagram storied out, the COVID vaccine is 90% effective after 8 months of development, when the flu vaccine is 40% effective after 70 years of development. I'll go with my immune system as it's 99.9% effective. And then she wrote in the comment, because this is a quote she took and posted, God made my immune system and I trust him the most. You know, praying hands, both kinds of prayer, blessed and praying hands. Okay. So I just want to talk about this because it's something I researched for my other podcast, for the Regular Guy News podcast about vaccines. And if you actually check that out, the episode of the Dan Black Attack episode for like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I looked at like what they mean when they're talking about percentage of effectiveness, because I actually had no fucking idea what that meant. And now I do know. So look, the COVID vaccine is 90% effective. Aaron, what's our most effective vaccine? Do you remember?
On record, it's measles, which is also 90%, 97%
effective.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes, meaning that within 97% of the population, this vaccine will prevent you from getting the infection if the virus enters your body, right? And that means when a virus gets to your body, it replicates and it'll take over your system, whatever, right? And then if it replicates, then you're able to transmit it because you have a lot of active virus in your body. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. So if it's 90% effective, that's a game changer. If our COVID-19 is that means that, like, do you know anybody who gets the measles? Almost no one. Right. Okay. So the flu vaccine is 40% effective. Now that even that is pretty protective of society. If you think about it this way, 40% of people who take this, let's say the whole world population took this, 40% of people were immune to getting this virus. Think about the stop in transmission that prevents that protects us from. So 40% is really fucking good, you fucking idiot, Nia Jax. Okay? Yes. And not only that, let's talk about the flu. Why is the flu vaccine only 40% effective while the COVID vaccine is more effective? Because the flu vaccine morphs. Okay?
Right. Okay? There's not just one flu.
Right. There's many types of flu. Now, the COVID vaccine, COVID-19 virus, which we, I know this is a wrestling podcast, but I find this to be relevant, especially because I saw a lot of wrestling fans being like, preach, okay, on this. Okay, so the COVID-19 virus, as we've seen it right now, well, it's a novel virus, meaning new, right, means it's not morphing. And they're showing there's one more strain of it. The spike protein is the same, meaning that it is the same virus and the vaccine will still be effective. Now, spike protein will be the new name of my finisher, by the way.
you hit him with the spike protein.
it's a brain buster with an extra lift. Mm-hmm. Basically.
That's what it has to be. It's kind of like what what Bobby Roode does. DDT.
Yeah, you get them up and then you just give like a little extra one of these and then you come down. Mm-hmm.
Spike protein would be a great name for what's Brian Cage's finish?
Oh yeah, I forget what it's like, the murder driver or something.
So the spike protein is the same, so it means that it would be so it has nothing to do with 70 years of development. Nothing. So this is absolute stupidity.
Garbage.
It makes absolutely no sense. Just because it has no bearing on how long a virus has been around, how effective the vaccines are going to be. And it's just
right.
I don't know if she wrote this for heat, but I have a feeling she didn't. She wrote another stupid thing recently.
No.
She couldn't be less than one of my guys. If she got fired, fire her and bring back Selena.
Yes. Yes.
This was such a monumentally and staggering, stupid thing to say for so many reasons. And I have a few things to point out. Dan, go back me up on this. Statistics. Famously, one of the most difficult and complex mathematical sciences like in the world. No?
Stat?
Statistics.
Oh, stat. Right? Yeah. So I have people know this, I have a business degree. I had to take stat every single year of college, like stat 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And it's the fucking bane of my existence. Stat is so... Right. Hard.
So that being said, do you think Nia Jax has a grasp above a kindergarten level on statistics and percentages and like what it means for something to be 90% effective versus like 10% ineffective, which by the way, the vaccines are 95% effective. So she was wrong on that. The second thing I'm going to say is that I look out for these fucking numbskulls. They don't say what they mean. They cloak what their ideas in this bullshit language. And when she says 99.9% effective, what that tips off to me is there's this meme going around among these idiots that the COVID has a 99% survival rate. There's only 1% mortality. Yeah. Completely forgetting that 1% globally is millions and millions and millions of people.
Yeah, also, and 300,000 Americans are like, or like 250. We're going to have 500,000 by the time Biden is put in office. I'm just saying. So, like, what who cares how many? One person in your family dies. How does that feel? Who cares about stats?
So then keep in mind that, like, so the COVID has a 1% mortality rate, the flu has a 0.003 mortality rate, okay, which is a staggeringly low number. And she, my point is this, that she's one of these, and then Aaron, you pointed it out, that Save the Children t-shirt or whatever was not just a mistake. She has her brain fucking rotted out by the internet and is one of these fucking like truther QAnon fucking liquid brained idiots. And apparently, now I'm willing to talk about how dangerous of a wrestler she is because she's willing to get in there and like
this her was her cousin, most dangerous move in my opinion.
Her oos is fucking immunocompromised.
Right. You know, I mean,
and so is she saying that her immune system, her God who in this example I'll pretend is real, made her immune system better than Roman Reigns'.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like 99 point, like my immune system is 99.9% effective. Is it though? And against no. what? Like
you can't measure no. you can't measure the effectiveness of an immune system like that.
It doesn't make There's any no sense. No.
This is the least wrestling.
I mean,
wrestling episode of the pod.
But, she's an idiot.
She's not. She's not like gone. Most girls. You know.
Yeah, she's not like most girls. Yeah. She's not like most girls.
Most girls. Most girls.
Yeah. She's not like most human beings. She's
most girls have a IQ higher than the threshold to understand and carry out orders.
Oh man. Anyway, listen, Alexa Bliss. Nia Jax.
I should have known better, dude.
I just wanted to explain that because, to be honest, it's confusing. There's not good, it's why I started the other podcast, Regular Guy News, where it's like I'm watching the news all day and they don't explain what percentage effective of vaccines means. So people don't understand. Like, we can't be pretentious when we're explaining shit that doesn't affect our everyday life. And you see someone like Nia Jax, she's does Samoan drops for a living. She's not going to understand.
Well, then she tweets this out to like all of her followers or puts it on
they're
Instagram. They see this and they're like, oh, well. Yeah, I don't need a vaccine. Like, no, you do. We all do. There's a reason why no one has polio anymore. Like,
right.
Come on.
Polio vaccine, one of our most effective vaccines. Anyway,
one of our guys.
Anyway, so Nia Jax couldn't be less one of my guys. Ugh. I hope she never gets any kind of spotlight. And also, she's terrible at wrestling and terrible Dangerous. On the microphone. You know,
she stinks on ice.
She doesn't get that when AJ, at least when AJ is ignorant, you're like, fucking that phenomenal forum.
He has a great Twitch stream.
I will say this, though. I laughed out loud during the women's match when Lana loses and then the camera and like the camera cuts and Nia is already clearing off the table to put her through it. I laughed really hard.
Did you like her Quibi joke?
Oh my God. Yeah. So that I have this written right here. That was fucking shots fired on Quibi.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That joke had to get approved, right?
Yeah.
I think WWE has some beef with Quibi? I mean, she was
third party.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just like a little too plugged in. It was like too plugged in for WWE usually.
Someone's got
a bad idea. CISO.
Fuck CISO.
Yo, Quibi, the Quibi joke, I was like, that actually feels like it's almost a good joke for WWE.
Okay, that's why it seemed so out of place. Like it was too in touch.
It was like really kind of like topical. Not like good, but it felt like more topical. And
it was
with
the best that WWE could master. Yeah, it was the best that they could muster for topical, which is being 3 months too late for the joke.
Totally.
Yeah.
And you get like
their jokes
one.
Are 70% effective.
Yeah.
Oh man, the thing, funny 70%. Thing about Quibi is like, so like you know, a lot of people have like deals with Quibi. You know that like people I know are like working with Quibi. They're selling shows to Quibi, but it would be like this thing where it'd be like. Yeah, I got a meeting. Fucking Quibi. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be like, we're pitching the show around. We got meetings with, like, you know, Fox and, like, ABC and, like, we're going to Quibi. And we're like,
gotta go to Quibi.
Because Quibi had so much money. Right? Kevin Hart sold a pun to Quibi. You're right? I tell you that? show, it's called Die Hart. It's like Die Hard.
Yeah, right.
But Die Hard. Like, he was giving them his, not even his F ideas, his like non ideas.
Yeah, and his like M as LMNOP ideas.
Man. Anyway, all right. RLP. Anyway, actually, we actually have a comment.
Didn't The Rock have coronavirus?
Yeah.
Didn't The Rock have it?
Yes.
And Nia Jax wants
What's
us to believe
relationship
that her
with
immune
the Rock?
System.
What's their. That's just for Quibi, by the way. Just like,
rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in power, Quibi. die. Wait. What's the relationship between Nia Jax and I know they're both Samoan, but what
like
family?
Second
family
cousins,
lineage?
Right?
They're cousins, I think. Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Let's move on to happier news.
Okay.
Yes. I have a
Alexa
question.
Alexa Bliss, outside of the ring news. Alexa Bliss is in off the market, fellas.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, not officially. She's in.
Congratulations! Hit her with the fireworks.
To Ryan
Big congrats
Cabrera.
To Ryan Cabrera for locking that up. really stepping his game up. I mean, he usually dates up, but
kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah,
date Alexa Bliss. There's never been a guy who hasn't tried to marry her. We know two guys she's dated. She was engaged both times. She Alexis. Anyway, I don't know. I met the guy one time. Seemed cool. I don't know. I got nothing to say. I don't know. I don't know who he is. He sings
on
music.
The way down, I saw you. You saved me from myself, and I won't forget the way you love me.
On the way down.
Actually, I actually have one of his hits here. Actually,
okay.
You think you know me?
Is he the lead singer of Metalingus?
Yes.
Yeah.
At the time, he was sort of like, there was like Dash, like the whole like acoustic, like emo rock thing was like huge. And like Dashboard Confessional was huge. It was still too edgy, not edgy, but just like by edgy, I mean, still kind of punk, like underground, like emo feel. And then Ryan Cabrera comes along and he's sort of this like kind of pop version of that thing. You know, he dresses like Miss Maisel in public, so that's what I have to,
that's his 2020 look. He's gone through many phases.
Yo, I don't know anything. Listen, my hair is wild. Is that
hair is truly insane. Jimmy Neutron. Yeah.
I mean, if you got that hair, flaunt it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm jealous. This is a statement. Jealousy.
Yeah, because here's my thing. It's like I don't know this guy at all. I don't know this guy at all. We have a mutual friend. I got introduced to him. I was like, okay. But it was at SummerSlam.
Dan has more than one famous friend, Tula.
He's also friends with Dolph Ziggler.
He's friends with my buddy who's a fucking amazing talent. Give him a follow. He juggled at the beginning of Calmania, Marcus
guy.
Monroe.
Marcus.
What a talent, Marcus Monroe. If you don't follow Marcus, he can juggle knives on fire. It's what he does is fucking
he's
insane.
He's amazing.
This is nuts. It was nuts.
He's a mark, talent. Too.
And he's a huge mark, so I love him. He was hanging out with him. So I met him at SummerSlam. So listen. If you're hanging out at SummerSlam, you're fucking cool with me. I don't give a fuck what you do, man. I don't care.
Sure, good point.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like the fact that this guy comes in and he's like, if you got that hair, fucking rock it. He's covered in tats. I was like, this is wrestling, man. If you got the pageantry, this is the place to do it. Good for him.
Yeah.
Then he dates Alexa Bliss. I think, you know what I got to tell you?
I don't know.
He might be one of my guys.
Oh, my God. On principle. No.
Congratulations.
He alone. Big congrats to Dan and Ryan.
I don't know his one song, but I met him. He seemed cool. He's engaged to Alexa Bliss. You know what I mean?
Do you think
he might be a cool guy? But I'm still going to knock his fits when he dresses like Beast of Grindelwald, but beige.
I want to bet he wrote. I want to bet he wrote the theme to the Firefly Funhouse. That I bet you he was had a hand in that.
Yo, fun fact about the Firefly Funhouse song. Did you ever see when someone made the Shmurda dance to it?
No.
Yeah.
So now every time I hear it, I see fucking Shmurda, Bobby Shmurda doing that, and like you know, and it's so funny to me, and it, like, and then I don't know how that meme, I don't know how that GIF, whatever, caught on because I watched the video where it originally come from, and it's just like the smallest clip. You're like, I don't know why this caught on so much.
Yeah, I pulled it out.
Yeah, he goes, we're really he dances when it
that's
goes,
so
we're really
funny.
Glad that our friends, and I just hear it every time. I love it. Anyway, congrats to Alexa Bliss, and congratulations to her, I don't know, incredible work with The Fiend.
Big congrats.
That jump that she did onto Morrison over the barricade screamed.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Let's rewind it. Let's rewind a little bit too, where he gives the elbow to the Fiend, and the Fiend shoots in that look, and he starts to back away, and then he looks, and Alexa Bliss is right here.
She like climbed the stairs like a little spider monkey and just flew at him.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Like, so much fun.
That was awesome. But also, the tweak of her music was sick.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
It's like bop up, bop up. It's like bop up. Pop up like you're like it was the Alexa song, but it's braid up, and then she beat the shit out of Naki.
Beat the shit out of her.
Great.
Yeah.
When does Alexa get a mask? Oh my gosh.
Well, she's got the gloves. She has the couple little dreads now.
I would say face paint could be cool. Face, maybe not a mask, but like a fiend face paint.
She needs like a pink and white mask.
They need a. Mm. They need to be already writing a movie for them with them, right? Why would they already like? Mm-hmm. Like, what? This is the shit WWE. They have no fucking. They have like no vision. You know,
I'm terrified of it. I was legit fucking scared.
My that favorite shit. Was when she like peeked over the barricade. When she was done. That was so cute. Yeah.
How does WWE Infinity, not I have think... a theme park by now? You know, like they, I don't even understand it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, how do they not like? I feel like they're like, you know, Punk always said. I always say this, but he said that like Vince McMahon's a millionaire who should be a billionaire, right? He makes money despite himself. Like I fucking hate to be that kind of internet mark, but to me, like, I just see so much gold, and it is. From Collabo. I feel like he lacks vision in Collabo, and he runs WWE like a sole proprietorship, like a mom and pop shop for his own ego. But man, could WWE be so much bigger? There's no reason that wrestling's still a fringe thing. There's just no reason, right?
Right.
Oh, right. Anyway.
Yeah, no, Finity, I think you're right. I think her mask, it's like a pink and white mask. Like, it should be this, like, whereas The Fiend's is this, like, grotesque thing. Her should be this like kind of unsettling sort of like satire of the like sort
Alexa
of
Alexa Bliss cartoon.
Yeah, but just like this kind of a satire of that like how like pretty she is, right? But just this like frozen in plastic, just like kind of purge mask. Yeah.
Yeah. Now we're talking business.
Yeah, like,
I like that.
It needs to be like a little cutesy.
Do you know the mask in Batman?
I was just going to say that, Dan. Oh, my God. Dude, I was just going to say the lady that sits down when she comes
in front of the beer.
And
she's like, hey, Jack. It's like, he spits like acid on her face and then, right? And
it's so, she takes it off at the the fucking, in the museum or wherever he was.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Like
I was just going to say that.
Pretty
so crazy.
Porcelain mask, right?
Yes.
God. Anyway. Oh, my God. Did you see the fucking Fiend fanny pack? Oh my god. Have they ever made an item that's more up my alley?
Did you order it?
Walking my dog to that? It's in the cart right now.
It's in the cart.
Okay, here's the deal. If you win, if you win the Survivor Series pick-up, I will buy you that. I'll buy all of us. I'll have a one-on-one bet with you, or I'll just do it regardless. But you need to buy it. Like, just hit purchase.
I mean,
Dan can afford to buy it, folks.
I'm gonna buy it. But the more
Can you picture like the average WWE fan at like the fucking like dialysis outpatient clinic, like going into their fucking Fiend fanny pack, like, insurance card and shit? Like, hang on, I have it right here somewhere.
I mean, you know, I'm gonna walk my dogs in that thing, and people are gonna be like, "What is that?" Although in LA, honestly,
man of your father.
I told Aaron this the other day. Me and my wife just walking the dogs, walking the neighborhood. Just a full naked guy just walks right by us, like no interaction, nothing. Yeah. Just like almost could have just been like, "Hey, how's it going, man?" Like, hey, like just fully naked. Like that's LA.
Hey,
that could be
an
you,
outdoors,
but with a fiend.
An unhoused fellow,
fully naked. But holding his dick, like, you know what I mean, like, so like just walking.
Maybe
like
you
that.
Saw. Maybe you saw one of those like improbable like comedy farces where like he like his like clothes got snatched and now he has to like go through the neighborhood with like,
yeah.
Like it might be Jason Schwartzman or something.
It felt like he might have been. Oh, it wasn't like a. It wasn't like an now. Area with like very expensive houses, so he might have been having, you know, relations with a married person, had to jump out the window.
Yeah.
Then
Matt came home and he had to bail out the side. Yeah. Yeah,
imagine if he was only wearing a Fiend fanny pack.
That's what I'm saying. That's going to be Dan.
Oh, man.
Dan just strutted.
That is going to be me. Anyway, folks, let's – all right, so congratulations to Alexa Bliss.
Wow.
I think we were talking
about.
What
a wild time.
Yeah, congrats. Yeah.
Did you guys see Becky Lynch's pregnant pics?
Yes. Obviously.
They both look so beautiful. Good for them. Someone
so
wrote a hilarious
beautiful, so thing. Magical.
They were like, Vince is already trying to figure out how to monetize on pregnancies. On
no
interest.
Doubt.
He's like, he's responsible for the kids, so he should get 10% of this baby's
right.
income because he set them up.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be surprised if he did think like that, though.
So ridiculous.
Anyway, so okay, we were talking about Bray for a second. Last thing I want to say is Sweater Bray won a match, which actually surprised me. But I guess he has won matches in the past, because and I think against The Miz, he beat The Miz at a pay-per-view, I think. But I kind of thought the thing was that like Sweater Bray is going to always lose because he's a softie, right?
Yeah.
Alexa assisted a little bit.
Right, Alexa assisted him.
Yeah, and I think he maybe it's something like, and this is just me making up my own kayfabe, but like The Miz hasn't beat Sweater Bray, and he also has he been confronted by like The Fiend proper yet? Because if not, maybe he has to beat Sweater Bray before he can even be visited by The Fiend.
No, but it feels like they are
Ooh, The Miz?
Gearing up for Miz.
The Miz had a whole thing with The Fiend.
That's right.
Yeah.
He left a little doll in Monroe's crate and stuff. Remember how fucked up that was?
Her crate.
And then he was crib.
In Long Island,
my mother put me in a milk crate. We had milk crates were a hit on Long Island. You did.
Dan was crate trained early.
Absolutely.
This podcast is brought to you by our new sponsor, Baby Crate. Offer code exposed nails for 10% off.
Absolutely. That's actually what the origins of Crate and Barrel was. It was a Long Island company. When your kid grows out of his crate, you put him in a barrel. All right, let's get into, because we got to do these predictions also, so let's just talk about what we've been ignoring this whole time, the elephant in the room, or shall we say the Scotsman in the room. Everybody, I don't have that one yet. I gotta get that
ting.
Drufus I just gotta hear one bow now. I gotta hear when.
The King of the North! The King of the North! The King of the North!
Listen, Drew McIntyre already was deeply one of my guys way before this. I don't tell you that, but what a week to really just jam him right into being more of one of my guys, right?
Yeah.
So Drew McIntyre's the champion going into Survivor Series. Just want to point out that the past three Survivor Series, the championship has changed hands the week leading into the pay-per-view.
Jinder Mahal
lost to
Jinder
AJ
Mahal?
Styles. WWE champion Jinder Mahal. I don't know where that
WWE champion.
Jinder Mahal was supposed to wrestle Brock Lesnar, and he called himself the Beast Slayer, right?
Rollins, wasn't it?
No, he calls himself the Beastmaster. He called it was, right?
The Beastmaster.
And then the next week, AJ Styles beat him for the title.
He talks to ferrets.
And then it hit AJ Brock. Then the next year, it was supposed to be AJ Brock again, rematch. And then Daniel Bryan won the title off of him by kicking AJ in the nuts, if you remember, going into that pay-per-view. And then I was at the match of Daniel Bryan Brock. I think that was Survivor Series in the Staples Center?
Oh, that match was sick.
Was I at Survivor
really good.
Series in the Staples Center? I remember seeing Brock. Did
I remember.
See that? Did I make that up? I saw Brock. Anyway, whatever.
I remember thinking Daniel Bryan was going to win in that match.
And that was a match that Shebs made a huge stink about because he hated that. The
Daniel
turning
Bryan.
Point in the match for Daniel Bryan was he kicked Brock in the face from the ground, and he was like, he's like, an up kick like that wouldn't take out Brock Lesnar. He can't see at all how Daniel Bryan wrestled Brock Lesnar. And I say, relax, let's have a little fun. And he refuses to do that. You know,
classic Shebs.
Yeah. No, there's no way. There's no way.
Oh my God, Shebs' voice on Zoom.
Shebs
crazy.
Mike is, in talk boy mode. If you,
Buffalo Bill mode. It's crazy.
No, it's stupid. It's stupid, and I refuse to accept it.
I'm hiding my voice. The father. He's like, he's in a talk boy.
This is Kevin's father.
Peter McAllister. The father.
The father. Drew wins. Oh yeah. So and then this year, Drew took the title off Randy. Drew wins the title. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think the logic was on giving Drew the title back here? What do you think Vince was thinking?
Is Randy hurt?
I don't know. He didn't look hurt. He wrestled a pretty long main event. What a main event for a Raw, right? It felt so big time.
Mm-hmm. It was huge. That promo package was leading up to it was like breathtaking. And I honestly thought they were going to start the show off because when Drew's music hit and they were like, what a way to start the show. I'm like, is this happening right now? Are they going to lead off with it? I was like, then it was no way. It was actually, I thought maybe it would change in that sense, but I didn't think he was going to win. Wild turn
Drew
of events.
Showed up on SmackDown also. So this seemed to be what the plan was for a while because they clearly had Drew and Reigns facing off on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. They already like set that precedent. And Tulo, as you pointed out, McIntyre made Reigns look tiny.
Tiny.
Yeah, shrimpy. That's crazy.
This man is simply massive. The fact that he wears a shirt ever is insane.
That he can find shirts ever.
That he can find a shirt.
Dude, I say this all the time, and I'll probably say it till the entirety of this podcast. But like when Drew McIntyre came out at PWG, it blew my fucking mind. I was like, why? This guy is ruining the show for all the rest of these guys. Like, I was going to watch Adam Cole. It was literally Adam Cole.
6'5"?
Those matches were like Adam Cole versus Roddy Strong and like and
children.
It was all the fucking Undisputed Era. It was like Kyle O'Reilly versus Zack Sabre Jr., the Young Bucks versus like Donnie TNA or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like whatever. These guys are like, the whole point is like this underground show, and all of a sudden you have a guy come out. Not only that, Drew McIntyre had the exact same look he has now, like the same gear too. He came out in that full duster with the Chanel band. You know, the Chanel.
Yeah, I forgot about the duster.
Yeah. And like patent leather undies, which is unheard of on the indie scene. Probably cost a little too much or whatever. No, the reason is because the patent leather undies, which I know this from experience, make you look so much worse than the other kind. But they have to squeeze you a little harder because they're not spandex. Okay.
Man, he is a big boy.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying Drew, he looks incredible. Clearly Vince is behind him. But I'm just saying, what do you think the logic is here? And there might just be nothing. It might have been like, let's have Drew win it back.
I mean, I think all signs point to that this was just a way to get Randy's count up for title reigns.
Right.
So, I mean, and the other thing which was kind of unique is what Miz or whoever said it. I forgot who it was. But I think it was Miz who said to Drew, like, you said you were going to give everybody title shots and you've given only Randy Orton title shots. You know, like, so you're not true to your word. So it's like, all right. So I don't even know. I honestly don't know why they went to Randy and did it, because we all just got jazzed up about Randy being champ. And
I think it was because like
Randy was killing it.
Yeah. And they just like, job well done to Randy. And also that match happened so many times that if they wouldn't have given Randy this win, it would have been kind of boring maybe. So they were like, oh, we'll give it to Randy for a few weeks.
They set out to make Drew look like a mill. Because Drew came out.
Accomplished.
I have a couple theories on this. One theory is Drew came out and they gave him this incredible entrance, which we'll talk about in 1 second. But they clearly I have two theories. One theory is that Vince didn't want to waste Orton Reigns on this pay-per-view. Is one theory.
Right.
Because you might see that as a Mania call. Match. Right? You know? You might see that as the Mania this year, okay? The other thought I had was, because we saw Drew Reigns at WrestleMania 35, even though it was like really weird. It was like honestly, Reigns' like cancer comeback match. Right?
I think I know what it is.
And then the other thought I had is, is that Reigns is beating Drew clean. So what if you can make Drew look incredible this week? Like, Reigns is not losing that match. That match will be a clean win for Roman Reigns. So you can – having him pin Reigns, it's possible Orton was like, I don't want to get pinned by Reigns. Like, he's at that level to say no.
They're schmozzing that match. There's no way either one of them are losing. They're schmozzing it.
I mean, I already give you my prediction now, but I say Reigns, clean win over back.
Nah, there's – So there's definitely something happened with the briefcase in that match.
That, like, in the sense that maybe Jey Uso helps Roman win, but Roman will get that 1-2-3 pin.
Fine, but something crazy is going down that night. They're gearing up for it. Whatever it is, something wild's going to happen that night. I don't know which way it's going to go and how it's going to happen, but
it's going to happen.
It's going, but I think. But
what do you guys think? Why do you think they gave Drew the win? I'm curious what all your opinions on that.
Well, I'm thinking the reasoning too is the Fiend and Randy doesn't have to be for the title. So, and I think they want to get into that now, and I don't think they want the Fiend to lose and not or win the title or anything like that. So I think they were like, this Randy,
I think that's
this Randy Fiend stuff needs to happen. It can happen.
Right.
They'll lull time. So you know what we're gonna get? We're getting that through Royal Rumble. Randy and Fiend won't touch each other until the Rumble, and then we're getting that match at Royal Rumble for and sure.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that I think Vince is like, whenever I put this title near the Fiend, it backfires on me, right? Yeah, and because also it's like Fiend doesn't need it because him and Randy have this grudge already. Like they have they have this beef already. You can kind of just throw the title in the picture randomly if they want that, draw that out. So they just didn't want the – that's it. I don't think they want the title – jammed up, because the other thing, it's like I've always said, Drew McIntyre doesn't he needs the title to be the champ at where he's at currently, right? And if they want Drew at the top of the card, which they clearly do, then there's so many more matches to do with Drew. They kind of wasted this past like couple, not wasted, but they had, it was Drew Randy like every,
but it was all good stuff, so it's not like
really
it really matters.
It's really good. Yeah, you're, I think you're totally right, Tulo. It's for Fiend to keep the title away from Fiend.
Yeah.
Keep the title away from Fiend. The Fiend Randy story tells itself. Now it's unsettled. Like, you got Alexa firing all cylinders and flying on all cylinders. So I just I think it's just perfect timing. I think it's going to be great.
All right, one last small thing, and then we'll get into our predictions and get out. But I loved this small detail they did with Jey Uso on SmackDown, where like Roman is like doing that thing where like Jey Uso like thinks he's doing Roman's proper bidding, and then he's like, nah, dude, it doesn't matter if you beat him, you know, like he's the thing where he's like, he's always ahead of him, and Jey, he's pulling that, like I wrote this thing, like it's like kind of like Fredo, where it's like he doesn't always get it, you know, that scene in The Godfather where they're like Mike Corleone shows up to Vegas for the first time, and then they go in the room, and then there's like Fredo's like, look, I made this awesome party for you. There's like a bunch of prostitutes and like a card table, and he's like, there's drinks, and it's like, and he has music playing, and then Michael's like, tell everybody to get out. Like immediately he's like, get out of here. Like, you don't get it. I'm here to fucking do business. Like, I'm not here to have a good time. And it feels like that thing where like Jey is gonna do nothing right. It's just a small nuance that I thought was really cool, where like Jey was like, I'm going to beat McIntyre. He's like, I don't give a shit if you beat McIntyre. This is about like how we look after the match. That's the only thing that matters, you know?
Right.
So I thought that was really fucking good. Also, I just want to lock in the Claymore. Let's lock it in. I want to lock in the Claymore as just a finisher that works. Like, it's a great finish, right? When you think they're out of stuff, like, you know, I'm like, you know, like, it's kind of crazy when someone finds a finish that works. I feel like it happens so rarely, you know?
It has to do with the fact that he's, you know,
so
bigger than, he's bigger than God. And, like, there's a fucking, like, him being completely horizontal with that kick is just
getting one of those big-ass boots right to the face. Yeah.
I also
forget
just
about
point
it.
Out that for the purposes of this episode, Newman did say that God exists. You did set that precedent earlier in the episode. So
for
you're
this
making
episode
that reference.
And this,
and this episode,
this
only?
Episode and this episode alone.
You said that earlier. Earlier you were like, assuming God exists. So that assumption, that's a going assumption of this episode for you?
Yeah. I mean, we can get into that another. I mean, God exists, but not.
That's a bonus episode.
All right. Let's get into.
Well, I'm sorry. Did we miss it? Did we talk about his gear? I'm sorry. Did we talk about
his kill?
We have never. I don't think ever in the history. I don't even know. I'm trying to honestly think, but like the way gear to have a storyline of him getting that stuff from Sheamus, and I don't even care what it means about him and Sheamus, but like the fact that there was like presented and there was like a story behind it. I was like, I was so excited to see him come out in that. And I was even more excited that he didn't have anything on top. It was just him shirtless in a kilt and a fucking, and the sword. A fucking sword? Wow.
The sword was insanely large. Just
absolutely like, blown away.
He looked like the version of him on the t-shirt. Yeah.
It's what a claymore is, which I only know from playing Diablo 2.
I do have this to say. So you know who else really enjoyed him shirtless in a kilt? My mother.
Your mom. I actually thought of her when I saw it. I was like, I bet
I Mama sent it Newman to her.
Actually, crazy. I actually had a quote. Your mom actually sent us her reaction.
Baby!
that is so much more G-rated than what my mom had to say.
Oh, wow.
She made it completely clear and made no qualms about the fact that she is attracted to Drew McIntyre, that attraction is sexual in nature, and
she's horny for Drew.
She very much enjoyed. I sent her the clip. I was like, let me know what you think about this. Fast forward to a minute 14. Check this man out.
Wait, why did you say that there?
Because I was like, I need to get your reaction because for the
You podcast, know that your and I Newman's know that mom
yeah
has
like,
a type.
She's really big into like you know Scotland and like she's supposed to go to Scotland. So I got her the Drew McIntyre Claymore Country shirt because she didn't get to go to Scotland.
Yeah.
And so I sent her the clip and she said, wait. I can think of a couple places he can put that sword.
Mama! Oh my god! Yeah. And then like eggplant emojis and
Yeah. Oh, and I was like, of course you mean your antique sword cabinet, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Above the fireplace. The mantle.
Wait, did you get her? I have a question. Did you get her the Claymore Country one where it looks like he's in a fantasy novel or just
the sexy
one
man?
Yeah, the
t-shirt.
Fantasy. That's where he's like. Your mom had to cancel her trip, right? So you bought her that shirt, right?
I mean, you set yourself up on that one, big guy. I mean, you know, got her that shirt. That shirt
is such a mark for when Drew puts his hand up and he's like, thank you. Like how he connects with the.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. You are home. I love you.
He loves Thanksgiving.
I love him wearing the kilt. Did you see on his Instagram that his cat was in the Thunderdome?
What?
Oh, yeah.
When he won the title. Yeah. I think he's married. I think he's his wife, right?
Caitlin, I think so. Yeah.
She put the cat in the Thunderdome when he was
winning. That's amazing.
That's so cute. Oh yeah, I see it.
Said this before, but he's one of my examples of guys who I think is getting really shortchanged by this pandemic. Like, this really was his year. You know, that Rumble was this year.
People were going crazy for him.
You know, and I think he really won over the crowd, and he passes that Today Show test like no other. And, like, I really think we could have seen Drew actually be real breakthrough guy, you know, you know, there's always room for these guys, these huge guys.
You can also say from the other side, though, that this could have been a blessing in disguise where he was able to be looser and just there was no pressure. And he's really honestly done a lot of great things. He's cleaned his promo game up.
I think as a performer, his promos have gotten better because performing for in the Thunderdome does not have that heckler start and stop, that like time to think. You can see some wrestlers who are not adjusting. Like, you have to just go to camera and deliver your monologue. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Was it true that live shows are done now? Not live shows, but
house shows.
I saw house shows on the sheets are done. I'm not totally surprised by that. It's kind of annoying because you know it's fun to have the option to go to a house.
Like
show,
you think about that for a WWE wrestler, that's pretty big. You're working like four less days a week. I mean, I'm sure they'll have them involved doing something, but I'm just thinking of Drew wise. It's like he doesn't have to worry about traveling and going all different places. Now his focus is just strictly going to be on delivering awesome television every week.
Also
you know?
Getting jacked. I mean,
it's ginormous.
He might be even growing, which is unbelievable.
And showing.
he's a grower and a shower.
Speaking of Jinder Mahal, by the way, did you see the shape he's in right now?
No.
Check him out on Instagram. He's fucking huge again.
I honestly.
Really?
Yeah, but he's not natural this time.
Yeah,
that would be a perfect way to go after Survivor Series.
The shaved head is a great look too.
You don't like it? You don't miss his Jerry Seinfeld hair that he had?
No, Dan.
He had like the
full, Kramer.
He had that like '90s Seinfeld mullet, like curly mullet.
Speaking of mullets,
yeah, I know you look great, Tulo.
Thanks.
But yeah, also another thing I'm pointing out is that I think Samoa Joe was giving backstory on the sword. He's like, that's his family's sword or whatever.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Like,
it's like he's doing that. He's here to slay. I thought that it's was incredible. Awesome. Also, incredible. Drew was small thing, but Drew was really overdue for new trunks. His trunks had those him, new like, trunks playing were Brock. Sick. So I thought those trunks were really sick. All right. Anyway, we can talk about. We could literally talk about Bray.
Glad we talked about that.
Gorgeous guy. Hot dude.
So hot.
Gorgeous guy. Hot.
One of my guys. Deeply one of my guys.
Hot.
Anyway, let's get into these predictions for Survivor Series, which we'll be watching, by the way, in the Cow Zoom Thunderdome. At the $10 Patreon level, come check it out. The post will be, to remind you, the Zoom link will be in the Patreon, and you can join it. Zoom is, just download Zoom. You'll see. It's a program if you don't use it for work or something. It's very, very, very easy to use. It's a good time. So anyway, we'll be watching Survivor Series together. Aaron, let's do our predictions. Who won the last one? Was it me?
It was you.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Beautiful. So we're all, I've won one, Nick's got one, Dan, you have two, Newman's still waiting to get on the board. So
wow. Come on, Newman, everything you got this time, put your fucking,
all right.
Give a shit.
All right, so let's kick it off with.
He's got a bad attitude, that's the problem.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. Yeah, you gotta.
Well,
I do have a bad attitude, but it's a strength of mine.
Wow.
Yeah, works. Okay. So we'll kick it off with the 5-on-5 Survivor Series men's elimination match. Oh, we have Team Raw, which is AJ Styles, Keith Lee, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and Matt Riddle versus Team SmackDown, which is Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, King Corbin, Seth Rollins, and to be determined.
Wow.
Oh, God. I mean, this is just...
So I think we should pick what team you think you're going to win and who... will be like a sole survivor, maybe?
No, let's just pick the team.
Okay.
I don't want to go fuck around with
this I go Raw.
Okay. Yeah, raw.
Obviously.
Raw. You know what? I'm going to go SmackDown because my boy Seth is on the team. Mm. So.
Who's on the SmackDown team again? King Corbin.
KO, Jey Uso, Corbin, Seth, and a mystery contender.
Wow. Yep. They have a way weaker team than the Raw team.
Right.
But the mystery contender, maybe is there a chance that's
Hulk Hogan?
Roman pops in there?
Undertaker?
Oh, the Taker?
Probably.
I mean, all right, I'm just going to choose SmackDown because why not?
Okay. Did you guys know our initials spelled Dean as in Ambrose? Did you put them on there?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Okay. Next, another 5-on-5 Survivor Series women's elimination match, Team Raw, which is Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Lana, Lacey Evans, and Peyton Royce versus Team SmackDown, Bianca Belair, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and two TBD superstars.
What the fuck is going on at SmackDown?
It's not TBD. It's because SmackDown's on Friday.
Yeah, too. We don't know yet. We'll find out on Friday.
And Raw's already
SmackDown
happened.
Wins. SmackDown wins.
I'll do all SmackDown on this one.
All right, I'll choose Raw for this one. I'll just go off.
Flip flop.
I think to be honest, it's just a complete toss up for them.
I'm going SmackDown because Dan, you got Raw.
Go both SmackDown teams.
We're all SmackDown, and then you're I'm going two SmackDown
I'll
teams.
I'll go Raw for that.
Okay.
Who's on that all team? Right. Who's on the Raw team?
Nia, Shayna, Lana, Lacey, and Peyton.
Okay, yeah, I'll choose the Raw team. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Next, we have Bobby Lashley, United States champion, versus Sami Zayn, Intercontinental champion.
Yeah.
Sammy.
I'm actually interested in that match.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Nick, right. You got like, Sami Zayn?
They did a cool thing where it was like U.S. versus international, how Sammy's the champion of all the countries. And
continents, bro. The countries, the continents. It's same shit, dude.
All the continents. It's all the same stuff. They're all there.
I would like to say that I like Sami Zayn the way he won the match on – I think it was deliberate the way he won the match on Friday where he handcuffed.
He just put his fucking foot. He put his foot through the ring ropes or apron.
Right. Oh, yeah. So I think that he'll find a way to cleverly beat Bobby Lashley. So I will also choose Sami Zayn. Yeah.
I'm going to go Bobby Lashley.
You can't.
I'm going BL.
Yeah, you can't really bet against.
I'm going big ass Bobby Lashley.
This pay per view is so random that our picks are going to be so different. You know, like sometimes you kind of know where they're going. This one is like there's no story because it's
It's
like this champ versus that champ, and there's no and the titles are on the line. So I'm not surprised. Different and random picks. Yeah.
Okay. So tag teams, New Day versus Street Profits.
Ooh, I love this match. This match
I'm going to take New Day on this
New
one.
New Day.
Newman's got New Day.
I think this is a passing of the torch moment. I think it goes to Street Profits.
Yeah, I think they're gonna let Street Profits win.
Okie dokie.
Plus doing great work on SmackDown.
Women's champ versus champ. Asuka versus Sasha Banks.
Interesting match.
Sasha. She's on The Mandalorian.
She is indeed
great.
I'm still on episode. Man, I struggle with that Mandalorian show.
I don't know why it's so good.
I enjoy it. I'm a huge Star Wars mark. And
the fuck is wrong with you?
I was obsessed with Boba Fett as a kid, and I don't know why the show is such a slog for me.
I'm not sure. What are you on?
I'm on episode 3 of season 1.
Come on, bro.
Gina Carano, I'm not a huge fan of. And so I'm not excited to see her either. And plus,
of season one?
Yeah.
It's all right. It gets better.
Promise, I'll get into it, right?
It's already good by episode three. What are you talking about? It's fine.
Well, I think I know why Dan is. It's just the way the show is. It like all starts to really come together. Get into more of like the bounties and stuff.
Okay. Anyways, Asuka or Sasha?
I love how it's done. I love Jon Favreau. I'm excited to watch it. There's something about it that's not drawing me. It might just be a pandemic thing. Anyway,
keep watching.
And I love Star Wars. You know that. Asuka? I'm going to choose Sasha Banks as well.
I choose Sasha as well.
I think they're going to keep Sasha hot. You know,
mm-hmm.
Are we all choosing Sasha.
I'm going to choose us. Then.
Wow.
Why not?
Hey,
I got nothing to lose here.
And no one's ready for her. It's been proven.
And finally, Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns.
Ooh, this is I already locked in my pick here. I have Roman as a clean win.
Yeah, you have Roman.
I'll go outside the box and I'll say cash in by the Miz. That's the winner of the match.
Oh.
I guess you could choose that. Cash in by the
Why not? Yeah. Well, he's going to be the winner.
You think he's going to join the match or you think that he'll cash in after? Then
I don't know.
If he cashes in after, you should still choose a winner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I really want the chaos of him cashing in during and them trying to figure out what's supposed to happen. Because it becomes a triple threat. If he pins one person, does he get both the titles? Does he only get the title of the guy he pins? I want the chaos of that. And, fun fact I learned today too, and I think actually someone posted in the group, was that The Miz – 12 years ago, whatever it was when he last cashed in, was on the same date, November 22nd, which is the date of Survivor Series at the Amway Center as well. So he's 1,000% cashing in again. It's like the anniversary of his last cash in when he won the title. Yep.
Interesting.
Well, how about this? Pick someone who's going to win the match.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a tiebreaker that is – does Miz cash in or not?
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Sure. So I say –
and a cash in, by the way, a cash in means not that he attempts. It has to be the match starts, right?
Right.
Right. Okay.
The ref has to be like, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure?
Are you sure?
And then he takes the briefcase.
And then he has to do it. Yeah.
And then he has to go toward – he has to turn towards the timekeeper to say it and then turn back again and just be like –
be sure.
Bring the fucking
I say Roman wins. They're going to beat the shit out of Drew after the match, and then that's when Miz is going to cash in.
Okay. Cool. I'm going to pick Roman. Drew for fun. Newman?
And keep Roman in mind, Reigns. Drew, yeah, Reigns.
Roman Reigns. And I think – because I think –
Damon Wayans?
Damon Wayans. Okay.
Damon Wayans.
I think that Jay is going to help him win as like a way to like try to like make it up to him. But it's still going to be the wrong move. And he's going to get pissed at him for even trying to like help him.
All right. And for the tiebreaker, do you think Miz cashes in? You think he's sure?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got
I'm gonna say no cash in.
Wow.
Same. All right. There you have it, folks. We'll see how things shake out in the Kowloon Thunderdome on Sunday.
By the way, we didn't factor in at all any of the whatever the Undertaker is going to do. You know?
Well, oh, other than he could join Team SmackDown.
And what is with that picture of him that they're using on that 30th anniversary thing? He's like making the weirdest face. He's like, look at it. His hair is really curly towards the front. Like, it looks like a wig almost. And he's like making this weird face in all the advertisements that they keep saying for Sunday. But I think the Fiend is going to do something with the Undertaker too.
All right.
Yeah, I'm saying no. Yeah. So I said no cash in. All right. Sweet. All right. Good. See, we got this locked in. But you guys can see live who's gets this right or wrong. If you're
great card,
remember patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Join us at the $10 level, and you could join and watch the pay per view with us via Zoom. We did it last month. It was a great time. It was fucking awesome. It was a blast.
It was fun.
Josh Timberley stayed up till 2. He was up at 2 a.m. British time.
Our UK contingency out there.
Yeah. And guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. And remember, this week, Friday morning, we'll have our AEW NXT episode. We're going to be watching AEW NXT tonight when it's on. And we'll talk about that. Me and Tulo will be talking about that. Mm-hmm. And you get access to that on Patreon. And also remember to rate the podcast 5 stars. Write in the comments in Apple Podcasts who one of your guys is. And we'll give you props on the show. Write your name and one of your guys, and also follow me on Instagram at Dan Black Tech. Anyone else want to plug your social?
at Cal Podcast, please.
Can we get some cash-ins? Let's get some cash-ins.
We'll get some cash-ins back. We'll get the cash-ins back.
Right. Come on, let's go.
The cash-ins, people are cashing in less because, like, during COVID, I think people are just doing it less. So, cash-ins, when, you know.
It's fine.
The cash-ins are not dead. Don't worry. I actually do have a good cash-in. I'll use it next week. It's not topical. but my internet went out, so before we started, so I didn't get to load that. And I also didn't get to load my sound drop, which was the Miz saying, correct.
Damn it. So, man.
I'll have that ready to go for next week. But everybody, thanks for listening to the podcast. Spread the word. Tell us about the show. Rate the show. Help support the show. Patreon.com. And, hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Comedians of wrestling.